He goes around throughout the whole country, and he's such a help and a blessing to churches. But it's so good to have Mrs. Valier here today. Brother Bob and Barbara, it is a blessing to have you here. And again, Mrs. Valier, good to see you. I want to just say this about Brother Valier. He is such a blessing and such a help. He is a friend to churches. And first and foremost, you know, the Lord led him to be a blessing as far as church finances. He comes, he takes a look at our books, he helps us, he gives us some recommendations. And I appreciate the fact that he comes and helps us in that regard. He was coming long before we got here. We've been here a little over 10 years, and he's been a blessing to this church. And of course, many of you have great connections with both of them. But also, he is a great blessing and a help and a friend to churches in other ways as well. Teaching the Word of God. He did a great job this morning in Sunday school on some financial planning. Some just good, solid, common sense decisions that we need to make, but looking at the Word of God. But also, not only teaching, but preaching the Word of God. So I'm grateful for this, brother. Brother, I'm going to turn it over to you. Thank you so much for both of you being here.
All right. Thank you, preacher. Thank you. What a blessing. Well, I'm going to turn to the book of Jonah today, and I thought when I was listening to that story about how it is in Colombia, how many here want to go to Colombia? Anyone that's signing up to go to Colombia? How about how many want to go to Brazil? There's one of the, yeah, work in a tribe where there's nobody there, but they wear banana leaves and grass skirts. How many want to? I start thinking of the places that I don't want to go, and there's a whole lot more places I don't want to go than where I want to go. And so when I thought about that, it fits right in with Jonah. He had some place where didn't want to go. So let's turn into Jonah. If you can't find it, just turn back a couple pages from the Matthew, go backwards, and you might find it real quick that way. But the Jonah is just a short little book. It's not a kid's story. There's a lot in there for that, us to learn from. And Jonah, I call this, Jonah was a reluctant missionary. That's I titled the message. A reluctant missionary. So I'm going to maybe give an invitation. How many want to go to Colombia afterwards? How many want to go to Colombia? I've been down there. It wasn't so bad. In Bogota, it wasn't so bad. But you get down in those jungles where they actually wore a banana leaf or a grass skirt, boy, that gets stuff. And then those matucha bugs, they ate you up. Anyways, let's look over in the book of Jonah here. We won't read the whole thing, but just part of it. And you get the gist of the story. Chapter 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish. Right away when I said he rose up to flee, what happened? Somewhere he lost his vision. The vision that God gives you to see a need. He lost his vision there. And it says, rise up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. And he found the ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof. Anytime you're going away, the opposite way that God wants you to go, you pay a fare. You can get what you want, but you may not want what you're going to get. And so, and he went down into it to go with him unto Tarshish in the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent a great wind into the sea, and there was much tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. When you're going the wrong direction with God, God can send some storms that make you wish you went the right direction. The mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God. The mariners had more belief in God than Jonah had at this point. At least they were calling upon God, and Jonah was running from God. The mariners had more faith, and Jonah was the prophet. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay, and he was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise and call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. I'm going to stop right there and just get right into the message and what God has laid on my heart. I titled the message, The Reluctant Missionary. He didn't want to go where he wanted to go. The book of Jonah is I call it the Old Testament missionary book. It's a handbook for Old Testament missionaries. Chapter 1, if you want a quick outline, chapter 1, Jonah was packing his bags. He's not going to go. He's packing his bags. And then chapter 2, you see him praying. Where was he praying? In the belly of the whale, in the slough of the world, whatever. And then chapter 3, you see him praying. Then you see him preaching in chapter 3. In chapter 4, he's pouting. Why is he pouting? He's under that juniper tree, and God took away his only bit of shade. Now he's mad at God. Look, why are you mad at God? For you're the one that didn't go where God wanted you to go. And so some of us will come quickly and criticize it because he didn't want to go where God wanted him to go. But if you understand what Nineveh was like, it'd be like modern-day Medina. How would you like to be a fundamental Baptist in modern-day Medina or some other place in the Palestinian territory? And so Jonah didn't want to go there, and it was the capital at that time. It was the capital of the Syrian Empire. Nineveh was the capital, and Jonah, he sounds like a racist because he doesn't want to reach those people. Some of us, we only want to reach people of certain denominations. There's so, you know, I don't want to go past here in America. I don't even want to reach Americans. And you can easily fall into a trap. You can become very racial because you don't want to go reach certain people. Yeah, you know, I thought, we're going to go down to the Amazon. I flew an airplane way back years ago down in the Amazon, and I thought, what are we going there for? They don't even wear clothes. They wear banana leaves and grass skirts. What are we doing there? But I knew God was in it. And I saw when we got there, we took a barrel of glasses, old people's glasses. This is funny. We took a whole barrel. We collected those from churches in South Florida, a barrel of glasses, and we flew into this one village in called Tabatinga, was it? Tabatinga, and we flew in there. And anyways, we came there, and we told them that we had some glasses. You could see these people that didn't have much clothes on, but they got those women's pointed rim glasses they're wearing. I could see. Wow, that's what a pleasure it is to be in the center of God's will. Jonah was, he was relying on his own strength, and he let his emotions take over. Have you ever said to the Lord, I don't want to go? Yeah, but God cares for this whole world. God cares for us. Your job and your personal interest can get so preoccupied with what you're doing that you forget there's a world outside that needs Christ. You can get so wrapped up in your own personal stuff that you have no time for God. And so we are comfortable. Most of us are very comfortable in our Jerusalem. But other parts of the world are unthinkable. I think of going down there in Colombia, and I thought, well, I don't know if I want to go there. I talked to a missionary. We had a missions conference a couple weeks ago at Faith Baptist in Greenville. And the missionary told me, he said, 3 times they had an attempt on his life. And he said, I'm still going to keep going back there because that's where God wants me to be. Yeah. On the other hand, I talked to someone in Bethlehem, and he said, I'm getting out of here. This is Palestinian territory. He called me on the phone up, and I won't mention his name because I don't know who's listening. But he said, I'm getting out of here. This is not a safe place. And he is a Palestinian. But he said, I got to get out of here in Bethlehem because they're bombing us every day. There are some places I could say, I don't want to go. So I'm not going to condemn Jonah because he didn't want to go. I'm going to say all of us have got to someplace where we said no, and we're comfortable. We're very comfortable in our Jerusalem. In other parts of the world are unthinkable, and we have our preferences, and we have our prejudice too. I'm not going where all those people over there. They're this whatever nationality or whatever. I don't want to go to the Palestinian territory and try to give out tracts. You got our prejudice, not just because it's not so safe, but you don't like those people because the bombing and all the killing is going on. There's a lot of places we can get very prejudiced, and so I'm not so much to condemn Jonah, but I could say that Jonah didn't want to go, but he finally got arranged it. Sometimes God will rearrange your circumstances. He'll put you right where you don't want to be. Jesus died for all of us, right? Just remember that. It's even those people that you don't want to go to. Jesus died for all of those. He died for sinners. Jonah, He wanted, instead of Jesus died, Jonah wanted to die. Take my life. Yeah, instead of going where God wants to go. In time, Jonah developed a heart for missions eventually. And he went out there and he did do what God wanted to do. Isn't it time for us today to say, Lord, send me anywhere, only go with me. Sever any tie that binds me to my heart. Oh my, if we could, I'd ask my wife to sing it. But anyways, it's time we say, Lord, send me anywhere. Jonah was a selfish, rebellious, cold-hearted missionary. He went, but his heart was cold. He's the only prophet sent to a foreign power. Looking at through the Bible, what other prophet was sent to a foreign power? Jonah was that. He was the only prophet who, get this, he's the only prophet who feared success. Because he didn't want to reach those people. But God sent him, and he knew that God had the power to win those people, and he was fearful. Before we condemn ourselves, I think some of us would be very fearful to go down to Columbia, too. We wouldn't want to do that. He's the only prophet who ran away from God instead of running to God. And he's going to go run away from there. So to Joppa, and I'm going to go with this place. And he had his own mind. The book of Jonah is the only missionary book in the Old Testament. And it's about a missionary. Jonah was full of religious hypocrisy. Before we criticize him, how much can we say that we're always doing what God wants to do and going where God wants to go? Hey, preacher, you know how many people come out on a Wednesday or Thursday night and go soul winning? In many churches, you can't get a half a dozen, if that much. Some of the leaders in the church don't even want to go. And yet we want to sing, oh, how I love Jesus. Jonah had that hypocrisy. God may be calling someone here to say, I need to do more soul winning. God may be calling someone here to be a missionary like Jonah. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust, where? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. What's our understanding? We want to lean on our own understanding instead of going out there where God wants us to go and he's sending us there. Hey, if God sent us there, I settle the question, who? That takes care of the how. And Jonah, he didn't want to go there. He was leaning under his own understanding. And, you know, when you look at how far away was this? So Jonah, he didn't want to go to Nineveh. He wanted to go to Joppa. And Nineveh, Joppa was like 2,500 miles away. He could have gone to Nineveh. It's much shorter distance. But no, I'm going to go far away as I can get away from this thing. Wow. He had no vision and no fear of God. So he was trying to go to Tarshish. He forgot the goal. Our goal is being in the center of God's will. He forgot the goal. And so he distorted the problem. He was disillusioned about the answer. The answer, his way was better than God's way. Self was on the throne. I'm going to do what I want to do. As long as I enjoy doing it, it must be God's will because I like it. But there's some things I find myself, I don't really feel comfortable doing, but I know God's in it. I like to get on, when I get on an airplane, go around and pass out tracts. Done that before? Well, I don't feel comfortable doing it. No, I found out, you find there's a whole lot of Christians on the airplanes too. And then they're saying, hey, thank you, thank you. And then I remember handing a guy a tract in the airplane, you're sitting in the emergency row, and he turned around, pulled out his pocket, and gave me a tract. You know, you got to have a vision out there to say there's someone who needs Christ. Amen. We're not blind Christians. We see it. Yes. And, you know, the moral crisis in America, we've lost our moral compass. And I look at why has America lost the moral compass when we had the fast growth syndrome of the 70s and 80s. We're building three churches a week or three Christian schools a week. We're opening up. And we're losing that. Why don't we have that moral compass anymore? Because we lost the vision. Jonah was distorted the problem. He was disillusioned about it. The answer, self was on the throne. That's why he lost the vision. He was telling God what he was going to do in essence. I'm going to go do this. Yeah. And because he did what he wanted to do, his decision affected others. When you're getting out of the center of God's will, someone else is going to get hurt besides yourself. Right. Mom and dad, if you're saying, look, I don't have to be in church every Sunday, watch what happens to your kids or grandkids somewhere down the road. There's always a consequence of word. And so his decision affected others, and it didn't work out like he planned. I'm going to go where it's not so far away, and I'm going to go where I can come home in a ship, you know, not by 5 weeks on a ship, but I can come home, and Lord, I'm not going to go there. You can come up with all kinds of excuses for not going where God wants you to go, or not even a witness to someone you don't want to witness to, but you can find out when you're going your own way, you're going to be on a sinking ship. And Jonah found himself on a sinking ship. His decision affected others. And find Jonah was depressed. You say, how do you know he was depressed? If you've been 3 days and three nights in the belly of a whale, that's depression. And all of us have somewhat been in that sense, not in the belly of the whale, but figuratively, I'm trying to say. Figuratively, you've been where you had your times where you felt like maybe I would have been better off if it really was a real whale that I was in. You've been through those hard times, and God brings us through those hard times. But God is always up to something good. Always up to something good. Self was on the throne, and Jonah was telling God what to do. He had a false perception. Sometimes we think our God is our genie in a bottle. You can get very selfish and say, God, take care of me, but forget them. You know, you're not saying forget them, but you're putting more emphasis on you, and you don't think about others. The men on the ship had more fear of God than Jonah. When you look at the men, they were throwing the stuff overboard until they finally figured out that it was Jonah was the problem, and they threw Jonah overboard. He had a false perception of God, and he relied on false provision. The false provision he had was a sinking ship. You think your ship's going to work? Your ship, I don't know what your ship is. Maybe your ship is your finances. But it comes a day where all that's gone. This election that we're having is going to be changed everything, because some of you will understand this. The gross domestic product. Anyone know what that word GDP? I know Ray does. When the interest on a national debt exceeds, the interest on the government's debt is greater than the GDP, what do you think is going to happen? Yeah, and you know what? Our ship, if it's not with God, our ship of our 401k plans or retirement plans, what's going to happen? We're relying on those. And I'm not saying condemn you for that, but friends, our real ship we ought to be relying on is God. Yeah. We rely on false protections. There's nothing like the jaws of death to open the mouths of prayer. Jonah, when he was in that belly of the whale, I can tell you, he was praying. Consciousness doesn't bother the child of God until you're out of the will of God. You get out of the will of God, and all of a sudden your conscience starts to bother you. Yeah. We ever experience yourself that you were all alone? Nothing can get you out of it. And you knew you were not in the center of God's will. Wow. Getting out of God's will and you're out there in some place where you shouldn't be. Yeah, well, all my friends were going there. I can hear some teenagers. All my friends are going there, so I joined with them, you know. And we used to say, monkey see, monkey do. You know, listen, you got more brains than a monkey, so don't do what everyone else does. Do what God wants you to do. That's what we need. We need to do what God wants us to do. We are all like Jonah. We are all like Jonah in some way or another when it comes to witnessing. When you think of the Ninevites, you ever read how wicked they were? I mean, I think the Palestinians are in the Middle East. It's pretty bad over there, what's going on, and they're killing the killing babies or whatever else over there. But the Ninevites, that was a place of 600,000 people, and they were masters of torture. In fact, you read some of the history books about the Nineveh, what it was like. When you came to the gates of the city, they had these poles with spikes on the top of it, and they would impale human bodies as a fence around those of those they conquered. So can you say, I want to go there and be a missionary? So before we condemn Jonah, you get the idea. He was being sent to the enemies of the Jews, and we ask, you know, when I'm deciding what is God's will, it's not whether I want it. I got to answer the question, who's sending me there? And if God's sending you there, that'll take care of the how, right? Settle the question who and let God take care of the how. That does it all. When someone says, look, I'm supposed to quit my job. I'm going to go be a missionary. How are you going to do that? You know, I read a tract one time, God opened the door at 64. This woman at 64 years old became a missionary and went overseas and learned a language. Settle the question who first. And God always takes care of the how. My friends, you may go through some difficult times. Jonah forgot that God gave him the vision. And he went through very difficult times. Friends, you can always find purpose in your pain. It's not something I want to go through. Jonah went through a lot of pain. I can imagine being in that belly of the whale. And someone says, that's just a figurative. It wasn't really a whale. Now we have got evidence within the past 5 years of people we know and been in the news media have actually happened in the belly of the whale. A larger enough one. And then some people say, how do you know it's a whale? I could say there's only two fish that never stop growing that I know of. One was halibut, and the other one is a whale. So some people may say, well, it was a halibut. Well, halibuts are only in Alaska, so it can't be in the Middle East. So it was God prepared a special fish, and God has a way of preparing some things to get you back on track where God wants you. Yeah. Jonah was angry. Bible tells us, be slow to anger. Jonah wanted to go to Tarshish, 2,500 miles away, instead of what was closer, 500 miles away. You know what we need to do? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Jonah distorted the problem, and he was told to go to the enemies of Israel. Nineveh was just the capital city of the Assyrian Empire. It was ruled by brutality, as I suggested already, what they did even at the gates. He was told to go preach the mercy of the Lord and tell them to repent. I don't know if I want to go there. And most of us are probably the same thing. When you go, they're going to greet you with all these dead bodies out there with skulls on top of these fence posts, and you want to go there and preach the gospel? Again, what you've got to do is not where God sent you, you've got to settle who sent you. Yeah. And you get the who taken care of, God takes care of the how. Yeah. I never heard of any ministry like us. I heard of CLA, but when God says, look, I want you to go do this financial ministry, nobody, I don't know anybody else does this. Larry Burkett maybe came close as the one we had years ago, but I said, I settled who, and God's taking care of the how over and abundantly. So Jonah, he decided to run from God. He had his own plans, and things didn't work out like he planned. There is a great need today. There is such a great need to go out there and reach people for Christ. I'm looking here. How many people here with white hair or gray hair? I'm not here saying anything, nothing negative, but we're part of that baby boom crowd. If you were born in 1947 to 66, that was the fastest growth after the World War II. The fastest growth in the American population was that time. And that 47 to 66 brought all the Christian schools that were being built in the 60s and 70s. We had three Christian, Al Janney used to say, three Christian schools a week are being started in America. Now we're finding Christian schools are closing. Or in Florida, they're, thank for the governor, but in Florida, they're looking for the government to hand out. And if the government gives you money, they can eventually control you, eventually, sooner or later. Today, we have fewer and fewer men going into the ministry. What are we going to do? We need people who's going to say, I'm willing, Lord. I'm going to go where you want me to go, and I'm not going to make up an excuse. Jonah distorted the problem. I'm not trying to distort the problem. I'm just telling you the truth. If we don't reach our country and reach other nations, what's going to happen? I remember the picture that Ricky would remember this, but we had at Bob Jones, they had a preacher boys class. And they took a picture from the main gate at the front and the Bridge of Nations, and it went all the way back to the Rhoda Haver Auditorium. And I remember talking to Dr. Bob III. He loves to go hunt and fish up there in Alaska. I was talking to him one day, and I asked him how the school was changing. And he said, and he asked me, what's your period of time? And I said, well, I was there when you were first year president. And he said, how many did we have in a preacher boys class? It's about, I remember, like 1,400 or so. And today there's less than 200. And you look at how many Bible colleges even have preaching in the program. You look at Pillsbury Bible College gone, Piedmont Bible College. You can name colleges after college after college are gone. And those, many of them are struggling to keep going. Today, in the next 10 years, I'm not making this up, but Pew Research Foundation, if you want to get statistics, in the next 10 years, 51% of the pastors across America will reach retirement years. What's going to happen? Hey, we need somebody who's not going to distort the problem and say, Lord, here am I. I can do something. I can do something. When you look at 35, I think I gave you the stat. I gave you the paper, so he's got a copy of this to validate what I'm saying. 35 to 40% of the pastors in the U.S. will leave the ministry within the next 5 years. 60 to 80% will leave before 10 years. 50% of the pastors across America feel like they're underpaid. Nice, because there's fewer and fewer people going to church, so how do you attract somebody? And we were looked down at Faith Baptist in Greenville. We are looked for a long time. They're still looking at Morningside, still looking for a pastor? Yeah, they're still looking for one. That's been like a year. Tony Miller was the pastor there. And now we're finding that it's hard to get anybody in there. Pastoral resignations, or I say pastoral burnouts, is playing a large portion in our nation, across the nation. Look, when a nation loses its moral compass, we're in trouble. And I think is why we're losing so many is some of us could say we got our own agenda. Jonah. The mentality that Jonah had is sometimes we can pick up the same thing. The tragedy of life is not that we get the tragedy of life is not that we get old too soon, but we wait too long to go serve God. Yeah, we wait too long. We're waiting, we're letting our days go by, and we're burning up time on things that really don't matter. And that's what's keeping us, how much longer will a nation last without God? Jonah was not wanting to go where God wanted to go. He had his own plans. He had it all figured out what he was going to do. He distorted the problem, and he was disillusioned about the answer. He had his own plans in that. And so what did he do? He was disillusioned about the answer and distorted the problem. But then his decision affected others. When you are out of God's will, not only it hurts you, but it'll affect a whole lot of others. His decision affected others because what happened to the men on the ship? Yeah, the ship was about to be broken. And then he ended up overboard. Do we prefer the comforts? We're looking for comfort more than we're looking for a place where we can serve. We're creatures of comfort. And rather than have souls saved, we can be very comfortable saying, I'm not going to do anything. I know when I was in grad school, we every Sunday afternoon, we go knocking on door to door and door to door. Wow, that was, people are home on Sunday. And yeah, and get them thinking about Sunday. Friends, today, here's the question tonight. We're out of time. Here's our choice. Choose the gourd or the Lord. Choose the gourd or the Lord. Jonah chose the comfort, and then he blamed God when the gourd melted. Look, I like what Charles Tinley, anyone ever heard of Charles Tinley? How many heard the song, Take Your Burden to the Lord and Leave It There? If you look at his background, he was a slave. He was beaten for his faith, but he never quit. Hey, these sailors in this this in our sailors that we're reading about with Jonah, they were seasoned sailors. They're not just novice. They were seasoned sailors. Yet when someone got out of the will of God, they paid a price. And friends, if we don't see the vision out there, somebody else is going to pay a much greater price. Don't limit God. God can do anything. He can use you if you say, "Here I am." Don't let your feelings talk you out of God's will. Well, I always say, settle the question who, and God will take care of the how. Is there a vow that you've made to God years ago and never kept it? Let's get it right. God knows what is best for you. God gives us a second chance. If you truly want to be God's servant, you start with making right what God wants you to do. It's not all about me, it's all about God. And that's the answer today. You can't run from God. You can't run from the consequences. There's nothing like the jaws of death to open our mouth to prayer. The jaws of death will get you to open your mouth of prayer. You've seen people in the hospital and they're got days left, and all of a sudden they want to get religion. Nothing like that. Jonah waited till he was in the deep before he prayed. Just like someone in the hospital doesn't wait till the doctor says you may not make it. Being in the center of God's will may be meaning that you're in the center of a storm. God may allow some of us to go through those storms. A virtuous Christian life is often marked by hardships. Friends, what consumes your mind will control your life. We can get so consumed up with a football game or some other TV show or something out there. Friends, what consumes your mind is going to control your life. When God calls, obey. And God's given us a call here today to say we need to go reach people for Christ. God gave Jonah a second chance. Like Moses got a second chance. Jonah wanted to die out there. He'd rather be dead than go visit those people. Suicide, friends, suicide is a permanent solution to a temporary problem. And he was willing to commit suicide. He was wanting to go his own way. Jonah preached from one, he eventually did what God wanted to do. He went from one city to the other. Then he sat down and he started, the city was how bad it was. And then he got sat down, and what did he do? He griped and complained to God because God took away the gourd that was his shade and comfort. Yeah. Look, be in the center of God's will, and God will take care of you, even if you don't have the shade and the comfort of the world. God has a better plan than your plan. Right. Jonah coped with the trip, but he didn't want to keep going. God can use a whale today to get you in the right place. Right. Figuratively a whale, or God could use a worm that ate up the gourd to get you where. What is it that God wants you to do today, friends? We've got to go what God wants to do. Don't limit God in your life. Don't limit God. He has compassion. He is not limited to our prejudices. We often limit ourselves by our own prejudices. Too many Christians are sleeping and knowing they're out of the will of God and not doing anything for God. Friends, if you're doing nothing, why don't you say, "Lord, I don't want to be in that belly of the whale. Today is the day, Lord, I'm going to do what God wants me to do." Friends, don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit on God. I remember reading this little poem that's just a few lines. It says, "When things go wrong as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when funds are low and debts are high, and you want to smile but you have to sigh, when cares are pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't quit." Don't quit. Don't quit on God. Life is strange with its twists and turns, and everyone sometimes learns. And many a failure comes about when we might have won if we just stuck it out. Don't give up. The place seems low. Don't give up if the pace seems slow. You may succeed with the next blow. Success is failure turned inside out. The silver lines of clouds of doubt. You never can tell just how close you are. It may be near or it may be far. So stick to the fight when your heart is hit. When things seem worse, you must never quit. For all the sad words of tongue or pen, the saddest words are, it might have been. What would your life be like if you said, Lord, I'm willing to go wherever you want me to go. I'm willing to be faithful in any church service. I'm willing, hey, Lord, here I am. Look at what might have been if you just stuck it all out and give God the benefit of the doubt. There's only two answers you can do tonight, today. There's only two answers. Yes or no. Are you today, are you a giver or you're a taker? You're going to take what you want out of this life? But friends, we need to give our life to Christ. God cares about a wicked city today. And there's a lot of wickedness around this city as well as other cities. God cares. And you think God sent Jonah there and he wrestled with it, but finally he got there. And that was a big, major city. I'd say, some people say it might have been as big as New York City. He went and look what happened. Friends, today is Jesus your Lord. Who's in charge of your life? We are living in a day of me-ology instead of theology. We put ourselves first. We must relinquish all our rights to the Lord Jesus Christ. Compassion for souls makes the whole difference. Sometimes our hearts get real hard and I don't want to reach those people. We're all like Jonah when it comes to witnessing. Just pass on a track. I don't want to be offensive, but I want to make sure I tell someone else about Jesus Christ. That's their only hope. I'm glad someone knocked on my door way back there in the 70s, early 70s. I'm glad someone came and knocked on our door and said, hey, we want to share the gospel. God was able to use Jonah in spite of his faults. Let's say that close with this. God can use you in spite of your faults too. He's just looking for someone who said, here I am, Lord. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you for what you've given us today, and thank you for your rich blessings. Thank you for the truth from thy word. I pray, Lord, you would give us victory over ourselves. Lord, help us be willing to go and do what you want us to do. Lord, I pray that you would help us today to go witness to someone. I pray, Lord, that you would always have the preeminence in our life. Forgive us where we've trusted in ourselves and the uncertain riches of this life. Help us to trust in you and you alone. We ask it in Jesus' name.
Just bow our heads. Let's be in a spirit and an attitude of prayer as the piano plays.